For years, I've known that a good thing to do is strengthening exercises for my core and for my middle. And I would regularly go through fits and starts of doing these exercises, you know, on the Superman and all of this kind of jazz, but I could never really get motivated to do it all the time properly. You know, I'd have a little run at it and then give up. And then I had back surgery. And I was advised that I need to take seriously the strengthening of my core muscles. And so now I have to do it every day. And so every day for 20, 25 minutes, I do these exercises that look ridiculous, but allegedly are doing me good. Where previously as well, I hated the idea of running with the dog. That just seemed like a bad idea. But now I'm forced to run on soft ground. It seems crazy that I'm going down to the woods to run to not have the dog with me. So now the dog comes and we're learning together how to run. It's a beautiful thing sometimes. Other times it's very frustrating. I have to run back to get him. And on the third lap, he's just not really up for it. He's like, come on, let's go home. A few more snacks and we keep going. But what changed? You see, what went from this doing the exercises regularly to running with the dog and doing that regularly? Back surgery. I had to take it seriously. And more often than not, we can always do what one wants to do. We make effort where we think it's important, where we think it's good and essential. So you're here this morning, isn't it? You're here because actually you think it's good and essential to be here, so you've made effort to do that. Once that focus, that desire changes, you put in the effort to do what you think is important if you think it's right. And Jesus in the passage before us this morning says, make every effort to enter the kingdom. Make every effort to enter the kingdom. Have a look, verses 22 to 30. See, Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem. And he's teaching in the towns and the villages as he does so. And someone, we're not told who, asked him a question. It's as if all the Jesus's warnings about the coming of the kingdom, about how he's come to divide, that judgment is near, has made an impression on this person. And so they ask the obvious, natural question, Lord. Are only a few people going to be saved? You see, in the Jewish culture, there was this expectation that if you were Jewish, you would be part of the heavenly blessings to come. Unless you denied the resurrection, not Jesus's, but the resurrection from dead to life in heaven. Or you denied that the law came from heaven. In other words, it was God's law. Or you read heretical books or uttered charms. Unless you did those kind of things, as a Jew, you would be in heaven. The bar was pretty low in that sense. And of course, Jesus' teaching has kind of been clashing with that thinking. He's been calling for all sorts of repentance and warnings. And so now this person's wondering, well, only a few saved. And Jesus says to them, note he now speaks to the crowd. He's not just speaking to this individual, but to the crowd who are largely Jewish. And he says, verse 24, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Make every effort. Now what does Jesus mean by that? Well, it can't mean that you have to do something. I mean, Jesus has been very clear in his teaching about that you can't work your way to heaven. You can't do enough good deeds, as it were, to get yourself there. I mean, we saw that in the account of the Good Samaritan back in chapter 10. Jesus has been teaching in these chapters prior to this. It's not about being religious. It's not about your works. And he's been really explicit. It's faith in him that saves, chapter 10. He said in chapter 11, we're to seek and knock and ask the Father. In the beginning of chapter 13, he says you have to repent and place your trust and faith, as it were, in him. We saw last week that only he alone can set you free and straighten you up. And so when Jesus says, make every effort to enter the narrow door into the kingdom, it must be What he means is that we're to labor hard to do all we can to listen to him. To listen to him about how we enter the kingdom. Do you remember his words to Mary and Martha? One thing is needed. One thing. Listen to him. And then we're to know how to respond rightly to him. To repent. You turn from your old ways and you place your faith and trust and confidence in Jesus alone. You see, we're to listen well and to respond rightly. We're not to pretend to listen. You know, like, I don't confess this, but I will. Like sometimes I can with Roz, you know. And she's talking, I'm reading my emails or the Sky Sports app. And she says, I'm to make every effort. Every effort to listen. Why? Because the door is narrow. There's only one way. It's through faith in Jesus. It's Jesus alone who sets me free. It's Jesus alone who I'm to place my faith in. There is no other way. So I'm to make every effort to listen to him and to respond to him because he is the only way. No one enters the kingdom unless they listen to him. And of course this goes against the pluralism of our day. That says no such thing as truth. You know, all ways are equally valid. All spiritual paths go up the mountain and end up in the same place. Even those who profess to be Christ are kind of beginning to teach this. So Steve Chalker, renowned pastor, preacher in the UK, Graham's done a blog on this, wrote just the other week. This is what he says. The common belief that only self-professing believers can be saved is merely a geographical lottery. Could it be that God is more interested in people as people rather than as members of religious groups, whether Hindus, Jews, Muslims, Christians, or even atheists? Now, he doesn't say outright, all will be in heaven, but he comes close. He said, if those who lived in the other lands have lived here, heard Christianity, well, they would be saved. But they live where they do. Therefore, they're Muslims. And he's implying, well, will God not save them? Because God's more concerned with people. And of course, it sounds, doesn't it? It sounds good and kind. And it fits the culture and our age. And it affirms all opinions as equally valid and equally true. And all religions as equally valid. The problem is, Jesus doesn't say that. He doesn't say the door's like an enormous wide barn door that is so wide you can drive a bus through it, welcoming everyone from every belief, faith, and viewpoint. No, Jesus teaches it's narrow. Only by faith in him can one enter. So make every effort to listen to him. It'd be foolish not to, isn't it? It's foolish to not listen to the one who's saying this is how you enter through the narrow door. To not respond how he demands. And Jesus says it requires effort. It requires effort because there are many voices in our world to listen to. There's many other opinions, there's many other ideas, including, of course, my own thinking and my own ways about how one gets to heaven. And it requires effort to really listen to Jesus, to read his word and to engage what it says about us and about how he saves and about how we respond. It takes time. But we don't want that. We want the quick fix. We want the easy, effortless solution, the manageable, the containable, the solution on my terms. But Jesus says, no, it takes effort. And then Jesus goes on. He says, look, many will try to enter. But they'll try all those other routes. But they won't be able to. And then it will be too late. Because look what he says next. The door will be closed. See verse 25? Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, it will be too late to respond. It will be too late to make the effort then. Have you ever had that experience of going to get a train and thinking you had all the time, so you just kind of stroll along, chatting, taking your time, and you arrive on the platform and there's the train standing there and the doors are closed and you go to get on and you're told that the doors close 30 seconds before the train departs. And then the train just moves out and you're left on the platform wishing you just made that little bit of extra effort. You hadn't quite strolled, but you'd sprinted up the steps. And Jesus says, look, the door will close. That will be it. There will be no further opportunities. He said, look, now is the time to respond. Now's the time to listen. Now's the time to make the effort. Because no one will be let in once the door has closed. You'll be standing outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. And look what the reply will be. Jesus says, he will answer, I don't know you. Or where you came from. And the reply comes back. They're trying to argue back of, here's the reasons why. Look, we ate and drank with you and you taught in our streets. But he'll reply, I don't know you. Or where you came from. Away from me, you evildoers. Do you see the implication of what Jesus is saying? He's saying not only will it be too late, but every other way of entering that they thought would gain them entry fails. And as they plead, that they give their reasons, open the door for us. Jesus, you fellow Jews. I don't know you. But we ate and drank with you. I mean, literally, they probably did. And look, we witnessed your teaching in the streets. We heard your teaching. I don't know you. Or where you came from. Away from me, you evildoers. And that phrase is literally, you doers of unrighteousness. There were, they thought they were doing things that would gain them entry, but the things they did were evil. They were unrighteous because they were trusting in them rather than making the effort to listen to Jesus and respond to him. They heard the teaching, but they didn't. They were on their phones. They were reading the Sky Sports app. And they were too arrogant to hear his words and respond. They thought they were okay. We're Jewish. We'll be all right. Trusting in anything other than Jesus, whatever it is, will leave you standing outside. So what are you trusting to enter? You're trusting in your Christian heritage, the fact that your family were Christian, so you must be. Maybe you think, well, actually, you know what? We attend church every Sunday morning. We witnessed your teaching. We heard the Bible being taught. Maybe the fact that you even ate and drank with Jesus at the communion table. Maybe you think, actually, you know what? I'm a good person who does good things. But Jesus says, unless you listen to him and respond, placing your faith wholeheartedly into him, Jesus will say, I don't know you. I don't know you. Because you never stopped to really listen to what I said. You never really listened to hear what I said about sin. That at its core, it's rejecting God as creator, as rightful king, and living instead as if you are the king. It's fulfilling your desires and your wishes and without one thought about God. That you're using God like a genie to fulfill your dreams and hopes. And Jesus says, look, we all have this sin problem. We all have rejected him. None of us are good before him. But you didn't listen. You thought you were good enough. She says you never really stopped to listen to what the cross reveals. That the sin will be punished. That God is angered by our rejection and by our sin. But Jesus is offering to take the punishment that you deserve for your rejection. He will offer you forgiveness and restored relationship with the Father and the Son and peace with himself and eternal life. You can never do enough good things to make it right, to make that relationship right. But I'm offering it to you. But you didn't listen. you never stop to really listen to what he says about repentance, about turning from living for yourself and living for him every day. And you just assumed it was just a Sunday thing. About taking bread and wine, just about doing good. When it's about a heart that's concerned to lay down your life for him, a life of sacrifice and service, a life that flows with thankfulness for his kindness in taking my punishment, but at the same time a life that brings and joy and contentment and fulfillment more than anything else the world can offer. But you didn't listen. I never knew you. Away from me. Have you really listened to Jesus? Or are you just listening to yourself, your terms and your ways and your assumptions and your standards about what it means to be in heaven in relationship with God? Jesus says, make every effort. Because the door is narrow and the door will close. And now is the time to respond and listen. And can I just say, young people, teenagers, F extra, rooted. Can I say this to you? Just because you attend church, and guys, we love having you here. Okay, we love the fact that you're with us. But just because you attend church, just because you go to FX or Rooted, just because your parents are Christian, does not gain you entry into the kingdom. Jesus says you need to make every effort. You need to listen to him and respond. You need to place your faith in him. And don't think that you have all the time. And so you're just kind of strolling along, well, that'd be all right, I'll make up my mind some point. Because before you know it, the door will be closed. The train will have pulled away, and it will be too late. Now, says Jesus, is the time to repent. Now is the time to trust him. What are you waiting for? Why are you putting it off? And for those of us who are believers, Jesus says, keep on making the effort to listen, to respond. See, because although we might have come to faith knowing it's all of Jesus and him alone, what can happen subtly over time is that actually we begin to shift and place our faith in what we have done, in what we have achieved. And so instead of trusting him and him alone, we begin to look proudly at what we do and how we serve and how we attend and how we behave better than others. And before you know it, you've moved from trusting Jesus alone and you stopped making every effort to listen to him and you started trusting and believing you're entitled to entry because of what you have done. Because of your goodness. And you know that you'll begin to shift that way when you find yourself thinking, God owes me because of my service. Look what I've done for him. Surely he can, surely he must.